A reckless young woman named Abarella does what no woman has ever done, and because of that, the hunters will find her. He will toy with her, and then he will kill her. Coming up next, right here on The Right Stuff. Stay tuned.
You are listening to the best, the only place to be on Tuesday night. That's right, you're listening to The Right Stuff, and you're at the right place at the right time. From England to Canada, from Detroit to the Coconuts, we are showcasing Christian authors worldwide, giving you tips, tools, techniques, and resources for you, the writer, to hone and perfect your craft. Tune in every Tuesday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, right here on WPJC 104.5. And your host, Parker J. Cole.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J. Thank you for joining me, having such a good time today. I have been reading our book that we're going to be highlighting today. It is a wonderful story written by Joanna White, available on Amazon.com. It's called Hunter. And when I say it's called Hunter, this book personifies what it means to be a cold-blooded hunter. And she does this so effortlessly and with such skill that you are riveted to the page in the very first moment. And you find yourself following the story of our protagonist, wondering what in the world is going on. I cannot wait to tell you more about it, so just stay tuned right there. I want to thank all of you who have been supporting me on Patreon. We did get a couple new sponsors within the last couple of days, and so I want to definitely give a shout-out to Chris Watcher. He is one of our sponsors, and then also to R.D. Palmer. He's one of our sponsors, too. Very thankful for that support. If you can prayerfully consider supporting Right Stuff, ask the Lord to guide you in that decision, you can support us, for $3 a month by becoming a Quill member. Simply go to patreon.com/rightstuff, and we'd love to have your support. So please prayerfully consider Right Stuff as part of your outreach needs. I think we're doing something very unique where we highlight Christian authors from all over the world, and not a lot of podcasts do that. We are unapologetically standing for the Lord in our fiction, no matter what genre we write in. So I'm very excited to take that out there. So feel free to support us by going to patreon.com/writestuff. I just finished writing the end to my book, Eva. I know some of our readers were wondering, where is the book, Parker? I am so sorry. I just had a really tough time with the last few chapters. But today at 3:40 a.m. this morning, I finally wrote the end. And my poor editor, I sent her the book around that same time, too. And she let me know later on today that she did get it. So she's going to be working on that. So I hope to have that out to you within a couple of days. Thank you so much for your patience and for your support. We also want to give a shout out to Ambassador International, who connected Joanna and I today. Ambassador International has some great Christian fiction and Christian nonfiction over the past 30 years. So if you want to know more about Ambassador International, simply visit their website, and let me tell you, you are going to get in touch with great Christian fiction, wonderful, inspiring works written by people of God. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can by calling in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag Right Stuff, with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Are you a reader looking for more compelling Christian fiction? Maybe something a little more edgy or a bit more real? Are you tired of most Christian fiction shying away from the truth and settling for a rose-tinted view of the world and its issues? Or are you an author who has a compelling story to tell, but you're afraid it doesn't jive with today's brand of Christian or secular fiction? Are you tired of Christian publishers telling you that your content is too edgy? Or maybe you've tried submitting your content under the radar to secular publishers only to be told your themes are a bit too religious. We invite you to take a look at the Crossover Alliance. We are an online publishing company that specializes in edgy Christian speculative fiction with Christian themes and real-world content. Our company is formed from authors and readers just like you who are breaking into the mainstream and Christian markets with this compelling genre. Head over to the www.thecrossoveralliance.com for all the details on who we are, what we do, and what we accept. Right now, if you sign up for our email newsletter, you'll receive a free digital copy of our first short story anthology. Check us out today and help us spread the word about the Crossover Alliance, where light shines brighter in the darkness.
If you are an author looking to gain visibility for your books, then AuthorShout.com is the place to go. We have a wide variety of affordable products and services to include a member zone that will help you get the word out about your books. Our team here at AuthorShout.com specializes in creating stunning digital products to include book banners, teaser videos, book trailers, book covers, and a whole lot more. So what are you waiting for? Stop by AuthorShout.com today and let our team connect you with a world of new readers.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. So very happy that you are here with me today. We are going to be talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor, Joanna White. She is the author of the book, Hunter, which is part of her new debut series that I cannot wait to share with you. This book is right hot off the press. You just start running as soon as you pick up the first pages. It starts off pretty brutal and goes from there. So if you like your fiction to have action, adventure, mystery, Hunter is for you. Make sure you go ahead and pick up Hunter today on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. And definitely, once again, we want to thank Ambassador International for the connection. And without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Joanna White. Joanna, how are you doing today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us. I never, ever take it lightly that you're here with us. And I'm so grateful. This show has been a long time coming because we kind of planned it, I think, last year sometime, and now it's finally here. So I'm really excited to share with our listeners your new book. So thank you. Thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You know, I always say this, and people say, why do you always say this? And I say it because it's true. I can always read your bio, but reading your bio doesn't really give us a lot of information about you because it's static, but you can go ahead and tell us who you are in your own words. So go ahead and do that for us today.
Okay, well, I'm obviously Joanna White, and I'm a Christian author and fangirl, and I always emphasize the fangirl part because I wouldn't be a writer if I wasn't a fan of so many other books and series and stuff. But I basically just write Christian, you know, fiction, and I've been writing since I was like 10 years old, the summer before my sixth grade year, and it was a hobby for a long time, but eventually it, you know, turned into a career for me, and it became more serious, and I just feel like this is God's calling, and I have this desire to just write really good, clean books that are equally entertaining as they are clean and just inspire and encourage other people and, you know, have the Christian themes that are also in the books as well. So that's basically me.
It's a good point that you mentioned that, because when you answer the call that God gave you for your life, which is to be a writer, which is to use that gift and write, he really takes that gift and multiplies it in so many ways. So I'm very glad that you mentioned that, particularly like you say, you want to offer clean books that people can read that doesn't detract or negate action or adventure or, you know, the immersive elements of fiction. So I really appreciate that you said that, and I hope that is an encouragement to some of our other authors out there. Now, you hinted that you've been writing for a long time. You hinted since you were 10 years old and it became a career, but I'm pretty sure there's more to the story than just that. So tell us what that journey looks like.
Well, as I said, writing was a hobby to me. I kind of wrote my own stuff, but it was just like these fun little stories I'd write with my friends. And in high school, I actually wanted to be an archaeologist and go into history. And then I felt like God might be calling me to missionary work. And at that point, I went to college, and that didn't work out, so I came back home. And at this point, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with my life? And I'm just like, I'm an adult now, and, you know, that whole freaky looking into the future, not knowing what to do. And I honestly felt just like writing. I've been writing for a long time. I felt in my heart that God had given me this gift and that I needed to use it. I just didn't know how. And I didn't know the first thing about writing or publishing or anything. And that's when I tried to self-publish Hunter, actually. And it didn't seem to be working out, and it was just so slow and so kind of frustrating at times. And just eventually Shifter and Hunter both got picked up by Ambassador International, and that's when everything just took off, and my God just allowed my dreams to come true, but it had to be in his timing, not my own. And it's just like it's, you know, a journey with God, but it's still like a journey in his timing because he knows the best way. Sometimes we don't, so.
I can definitely concur with that. I know several of my listeners have probably heard me tell the story, so I won't go into it. But even doing this show was in his time because my husband had bought a microphone 2 years before I even had an inkling that I would be doing a podcast. And he bought it, Joanna, because it was on sale. And I talked about it so many times. It was on sale. And he came home with this $150 microphone, and he says, well, I got a rebate. And I said, what was the rebate for? He says, $20. And I'm sitting up there wanting to rip his head off, never knowing that I'll be doing what I'm doing now. So I totally understand when you say it is in God's timing. I think that's important, too, because some authors feel as if I will never get this book done. I will never have time to write that book. And you just said something. It's in God's timing. Why do you think being obedient or falling in God's will at his timing is so important when it comes particularly to being a writer as a career?
I think it's important because we do so much more with him at our side than against him or without him. I know it personally with my writing, there have been times when I'm completely dry and I'm like, I want to write this. Why am I not coming up with anything? I know what I'm supposed to be writing. I know what the scene is, and it's just not there. And either God leads me to a different book he wants me to write that night, or he's not, you know, it's meant to be written on another night. And then when I do get around to writing that scene, I realize, okay, it's much better now. This scene is amazing, you know, through God and everything. So sometimes he wants us to either be doing other stuff or it's just not the right time. Like it turns out better when you do it with God and when he's there to guide you and when you're walking with him than if you try to do it on your own.
That brings me to Alan Arnold when he talks about co-creating with God. And I've said this before too, it's just that wonderful ability to create, that transmutable aspect that God gave us. He didn't give us all of his creative ability, but the fact that he gave us what we have in the arts and in logic and in mathematics and science, just that we can have that, it's so astounding to have that. And so when you do it with him, it's even better. And sometimes you find yourself writing better, writing a different story. You may have had an idea, well, I want to go this way. And then God says, that's cute. You know, that's cute that you want to go that way. So I love that. I love that you just put that emphasis on the Lord, particularly as Christian writers. And I was talking about this earlier with another writer friend. With Christian writers in particular, not saying that other writers don't have that calling, but with Christian writers, it's deeper than just my own self-satisfaction. I am writing this particular thing because God is calling me to write. God is calling me to use these words. And these words can have massive effect on someone's life. And that just shows the power of words. So as we continue with our show here, one of the things that I like about your book is just how fast it goes. I mean, you are literally running off the pages, and you know, thank God it's not a book. I probably would have broke or tore the pages off of it, a paperback book. But I'm flying through my Kindle trying to catch up with it because everything's happening so fast. And I know that the constant question that people ask all the time is whether you're a pantser or a plotter, if you're a hybrid. And I am a diehard pantser. But I'm always amazed at what plotters can do because I feel like, you know, you have to plot, okay, he will now kick this person in the face. one line. You know, I just feel like that's what happens. Even though I know that's not it, you know. So tell us a little bit about your writing process, because I want our listeners out there to always have different perspectives of what a writing process for an author looks like, because you may do it differently and someone can roll with that. I do it differently, so I may roll with that. So go ahead and tell us what that process looks like.
That's an interesting question, and I'm glad you brought up the different perspectives, because the funny thing about me is that mine has changed. And so I actually used to be a hobby writer, so everything was improvised. I'd come home one day from school and feel like writing this, so that's what I wrote, and then that's what happened. And it just kind of this casual, just writing when I wanted to, you know, and just this relaxed thing, and then it became a career, and things sort of escalated. And I was still kind of more where I'd improvise a lot, but especially this year in particular, I'm writing, I'm doing this challenge called the Million Word Challenge, which is where you write a million words in a year. So back in November, when I knew I was going to do this challenge, I had to plan all my books ahead of time, because I'm like, I'm going to be writing 4,000 words a day. I'm not going to have time to plan anything. I'm going to have to know what I'm doing. And so I outlined all 20 books in the months of November and December of 2019. And so I had to plan literally a chapter by chapter outline for everyone. So recently this year, I've become a major outliner. And I don't know if I can branch back into the whole improvision thing. There have been a few times in a few books, my characters, the last one I actually finished writing just a couple days ago, actually, the villain ran away from me and things escalated and he went off outline. And I'm going, what are you doing? I got to get this back on track, because if not, I'm not going to finish the book and hit my word count for the day. And it was like this huge, just panic moment, but it made the book better and it actually ended on a better note than what I had in my outline. So I'm still a bit of both. So I guess you'd call me a hybrid, but for the sake of the challenge, I have to be more of an outliner in this time period of my life.
You know, there's a lot of challenges going on right now, particularly. I know there's a book a month challenge going on. I know there's a 5-year plan. One of my other author friends are doing. I've not heard of the million dollar. Of course, we all love $1 million at the end of the year. A million word challenge. I hadn't heard about that. So where can we get more information about that for our listeners out there? Because it's not too late. You just have to catch up, you know, just catch up.
Yeah. I honestly don't know. I heard one of my author friends, Katie Terry, she was going to do it last year, and so she started talking about it. I didn't even know it was a thing, and I actually got curious to see. I was like, if I'm going to write a million words, I need to know how much I do naturally without trying. And I calculated everything, and this included my novels, my short stories, my notes, and everything. And I'd hit a million words last year by accident without meaning to. And I was like, I want to hit it with just novels, no short stories, no notes, no blog articles that I've written online, just novels. And that's when I started planning this challenge. So I don't know if it's like an official thing. It was just something one of my friends was going to do, and she dropped out of it and just decided not to. And so I decided I'm going to do this. It's just this really thing that I want to do, and I've taught a lot, and now I feel God leading me to actually like write a nonfiction book about it and help other writers and start making this like a thing to where, hey, you can write more, you can write faster, you can get books done, you know, you can get a lot of content, and it helps you grow as a writer and more than just writing more words every day. It really does. I've learned a lot more about myself in multiple things because of this challenge. So it's kind of just a casual thing. It's not, I don't know of anywhere to go in particular to find out more about it. It's just writing a million words in a year, however you want to, kind of.
It's a wonderful challenge, you know, and I like how you said it, because even as I look over my own career, how things have changed for me, you know, you do get better at this thing. The more you write, you really do get better at it. And sometimes you look at your earlier works and you go, oh my gosh, what was I thinking? You kind of cringe. And then sometimes you're like, wow, I thank the Lord that we've grown that far. So for those of you listening, you want to try this challenge on a casual basis. Maybe it's not a million words for you. Maybe you're like, you know, Parker, Joanna, I can't do it. It's already May. But challenge yourself to challenge it. The thing is, sometimes writers don't succeed because they don't challenge themselves. They don't take themselves seriously. And I remember when I began to take myself seriously, that's when my writing output increased, when I began to take myself seriously. And you talk about it yourself as being a hobby writer, just writing on a hobby. Now it's a full-time career, and now you're working to get more books out there, get more output, get more content. And I think that's important for our listeners to know. So our listeners out there, if you're listening, I hope you are encouraged by what Joanna is saying, because she's giving you nuggets of wisdom. And you can use that wisdom in your own writing career. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break, but you can call in and weigh in by calling in at 646-668-8485 and press that 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag write stop with your questions or comments. We'll be right back after these few messages.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guests on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
God gives humans the gift of making amazing stories to glorify Him. At SpeculativeFaith.com, our ministry is to help fans explore fantasy, science fiction, supernatural stories, and beyond from an intentional and biblical Christian perspective. We share daily articles and have extensive archives tackling hot topics like end times beliefs, the art of writing, creative excellence in the Christian subcultures, discernment, sex, magic, Harry Potter, and space aliens and the Bible. If you are a parent or anyone else with a discriminating palate, our reviewers explore fantastical novels, movies, television, and games in light of God's beauty, goodness, and truth. Want to find Christian stories? The Specfaith Library lists every fantastical novel we can find from a Christian author. It's all part of our mission to discern, engage, and enjoy fantastical human creativity in honor of our Creator, Jesus Christ. SpeculativeFaith.com, exploring fantastical stories for God's glory.
Engaging the culture's imagination through speculative fiction, The Untold Podcast produces audio fiction from a Christian worldview. Find us over at untoldpodcast.com, where we partner with authors to tell science fiction, fantasy, supernatural, and horror stories. Find links at untoldpodcast.com to subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, and a variety of other platforms. Each month we produce high-quality audio fiction that's free to download and free to listen. Our submissions are open, and we're always looking to add another great story to over 24 hours of narrative entertainment. Find all of our audio fiction over at www.untoldpodcast.com.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guest, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5, having a marvelous time with my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Joanna White. She is the author of the book Hunter, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. When you get a copy of this book, you are going to hit the ground running. It literally starts off with action and continues through. And Joanna is so effective with her writing style that it's very simplistic, but not simple, if I can say it like that. It's very complex, not simple. And she doesn't use all these big words, but it just paints this beautiful picture, and you can see everything happening. And I was thinking about that whole technique of everyone's talking about show, don't tell. And she does a wonderful job of showing, because her story has so much action, you have to keep up with it. And it just bursts out the door right away. So I want to encourage you to get your copy of Hunter today. It's on Amazon. I want to again thank Ambassador International for the connection. And Joanne, I'm not just saying that because I'm paid to say that. I know you didn't pay me to say that. I'm saying it because it really is a good book. And I have to tell you, a number of people who were looking at this on Facebook and different places were like, this is a killer blurb. This blurb is killer, literally. And I just have to say this, and I would love you to speak to this. Having that blurb that captures the attention of someone, because the cover is great. Mm-hmm. Ambassador did a great job with the cover. But the blurb just lures you in. And I was reading, I was like, oh, my gosh, I have got to read this. So talk about that necessity of working those writing muscles to get that blurb. Because as soon as you read the blurb, you are hooked. Tell us a little about that before you get into your story.
I actually wrote Hunter and the Valiant series quite a while ago. I wrote Hunter back in 2012 or 2013. This wasn't my career yet. This was just a hobby series, honestly. I didn't realize how important it would become to God and how important it would become to me. So when I wrote the blurb, I think at the time I was actually getting ready to put Hunter on Wattpad and everything. And I'd been through several different, because Wattpad is a place where you can read books for free. And remember, this was still just a hobby to me at the time, and I didn't know I was going to publish it in the future. And so I really needed, I knew that on Wattpad, people have an available, like, tons and tons of books for free. So your blurb and your cover, like, especially your blurb, really has to stand out, because if not, they're just going to pass your book by for another free book they can read on there, you know, that's just as good or whatever. And so people on Wattpad are exceptionally picky, and so you really have to make them want to read, you know, want to start reading your book. And that's kind of what I just kind of worked on with that, and just the whole concept of, you know, Avarella and what she's doing and her stakes, and then the hook with Jared and that mystery behind him, you know, posing as a hunter or posing as a prisoner, and you're like, you know, you have to find out what happens to them because of this whole mystery idea with that, you know, creating that within the blurb.
And one thing about blurbs, most writers hate them, because you can write 400,000 words, probably could write it faster than you could a blurb, because now
yes.
You have to take 400,000 words and put it within, let's say, 150 to 200 words. You know, let's just say maybe a little bit longer depending on genre, but you have to take this massive concept that you have and shrink it down to a crunch, because like you just said, you are competing for eyes. You're competing for that reader to pick up your book. So it has got to be good. And your blurb effectively
mm-hmm.
does that. One of our supporters, she saw the blurb. She was like, oh my gosh, I am about to get this book. Literally, that's all she said. I said, it's a killer blurb. She's like, yes, it is. And I told her, I said, and the book's good too. So you're in good luck. It's not like you have a really cool blurb and then the book's like, oh gosh, I was lied to. You know, it's nothing like that. So I'm letting our listeners know, Hunter is very good. And you have some wonderful symbolism going on here, wonderful world building skills. I like the connection between the two worlds. I like the world that we're on. Everything about this book is wonderful. So for our listeners out there, make sure you pick up your copy of Hunter today, available on Amazon.com. It's book one of the Valiant series, and there's more to come, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on in the broadcast. So let's delve into Hunter. One thing I have to tell you, and I've said this before, I've watched those movies where, like, the person is a spy, and they're being, handcuffed to a chair or tied down to a chair, and the interrogator comes, and he's slapping them around, hitting them with chains, cutting them, and all that. And I remember thinking, just tell him, right? Just tell him, stop going through all this nonsense, you know. So I know I'm not spy, but Avarella is stronger than me, because the story would have ended in chapter one. She just would have mourned, and that would be it. End of story.
Yeah.
Would have been a tragic slice of life. But no, she's a very determined woman, and that determination comes through in this story, and it comes through very early. Then we have Jared, the psychopath, the sociopath,
yes.
The guy you don't want to meet in daylight. This guy is John Wick on steroids, and you're sitting there going, I am terrified of this guy. He is a hunter. And he is determined. And one of the notes I wrote while I was reading here is that a good hunter knows its prey. And that becomes a crucial part of the hunter story. So if I haven't already gotten you excited, let's start delving into this. First of all, and I've kind of given you an idea what the book is about, but you're the author. You know how better to explain it than I do. Tell us what the book is about, but make sure you don't give away any spoilers.
Well, basically this world of Avarel is just oppressed by this government called the Aretul, and they take men and boys from any village, anywhere, anybody can be taken, and they put them into this prison, but it's more of like an outdoor kind of arena type thing called Zagra, and they're never seen again, and nobody knows what happens there unless you get taken, of course. And so we go into the story of this girl, Avarella, her brother Gabriel is sick, and he's, you know, they don't know much about diseases, and he's just really sick, and he gets taken, and she's had to take care of him her whole life. Her mother is really depressed, and so she's like, I can't let him go. If he goes to Zagra, he's going to die. He's too sick. So she's so determined to save her brother that she doesn't even really think. She just disguises herself as a man, because women don't get taken, so what else is she supposed to do? And she gets herself taken and arrested and thrown into Zagra, only to find out that in this prison, there are genetically altered assassins, basically, called hunters. They're sent after the prisoners, and there's only a handful of them against hundreds upon hundreds of prisoners, but the prisoners really stand no chance. And she's like, how am I supposed to find my brother? How can I save him? I can barely even keep myself alive in here. And so you're just following along with her story. And this, the, on top of that, Zagra is a dangerous place. You don't just have the hunters to worry about, but you've got all these different biomes and different things that could create problems. And it's just a story of survival and just this constant hope that's just out of reach for Abarella. And that's kind of the gist of the whole storyline.
One of the aspects of this world building that you did, I like how you changed how the sun rises. You know how some aspects of a story come out to you? That came out to me. And the sun rises in the north and sets in the south. And this also, this world has two moons. But then when she's in this prison, it looks like it's only one moon. And so there's a lot of manipulation going on behind the scenes, even though you don't see it right away. As you read the story, you're saying something else is going on besides what these two people are dealing with. And one thing about Jared, who's our hunter here, he is, I'm not kidding. You know, I'm a healthy woman, okay? That's like, Jared
yep.
reminds me of being a healthy woman like me sitting next to Jeffrey Dahmer, okay? I don't want to sit next to Jeffrey Dahmer, okay? I'm healthy. He will think I'm healthy, and then you never see me again. You know what I'm saying? So that's how Jared
yep.
is. He's a psychopath, and he's completely altered with these superhuman abilities. And with that superhuman ability, he is cold and calculating and unemotional. And I think as a killer, that is the most terrifying part. It's not that you even care about the kill. You just want to get it over with. And it lets you know just how he thinks about human life until
mm-hmm.
things change when Abarella enters the prison. So let's talk
mm-hmm.
about Abarella for a second. Now, she just loves her brother. Like you said, she doesn't think this thing through. She doesn't think it through. She's just like, I got to go save my brother. Women are like that, though. Okay, sometimes we don't always think things through. We kind of just jump and get impulsive. We don't think it through. So what, with Abarella, who is she to the reader? What are we trying to gain through her insight about this world that she has found herself thrust into of her own free will, but that she found herself in?
I think with her, the important thing is just at first seeing that, like you said, sometimes we don't really think things through, and that even though you might be doing either the right thing for the wrong reasons or the wrong thing for the right reasons, you know, whichever way you want to put it, that she's trying to do the right thing. She's trying to save her brother, and that's the right reasons, but, you know, getting yourself arrested and thrown into a prison where you can't really, you know, it's too dangerous and you don't know what's going on there, and you didn't really come up with a game plan. You know, she didn't really think this through. And it's kind of like when we do that, even though she made a kind of a really reckless mistake for the good reasons, you know, out of love, God can still take those mistakes that we make, regardless of our reasons, and turn it into something good. So through all of this, she meets these other prisoners and kind of just gets close with them. And maybe even from their side of things, they kind of needed someone like Abarella there to add to their, you know, because these prisoners that she meets are kind of like a family. And they just kind of adopt her into their family because that's all they've got. They can't get out of this prison. They're on the run for survival. And yet there's still just an underlying hope that these people have, but they've lost it. And I think there's a part of Abarella that kind of renews that hope within them without even realizing that she's doing it. And God kind of used her mistake to kind of bring this all to pass, so to speak.
Another aspect that you mention in this story is that she has to disguise herself as a man. And I particularly love this particular theme in stories, particularly in romance. I think it's a great trope. I really do. I love this, you know, and the guy's all confused or whatever. But in this case, he's not confused out of love. He's confused because he can't quite figure out this particular prison. And at the time of the story, Jared, who is following them, thinks this is a man. But this man
mm-hmm.
is acting unlike anything he'd ever known. He said, it's usually easy to kill, but he can't get close to this one particular prisoner, which is Abarella. And this caused him some frustration. So for me, just as a romance novelist, for me, that just, I just loved it. Even though it's not romantic, from what I'm reading right now, it was as romantic. I just love that, you know. So you're taking the romance out of it and just putting the frustration in there. And I love that, Joanna. I love that. So with me, so as he gets here, one thing I had to ask, and I see this a lot in different movies too, where when the woman cuts her hair, she had beautiful hair, y'all. She had waist length hair that went down to her waist. Wait, but of course, waist length, duh. She had long hair. And then she cuts it. There's that symbolism that comes with cutting, especially for females, with cutting off their hair. Was it a deliberate thing that you had an element in there, or was just, hey, you know, she's got to look like a dude, so she has to cut off her hair? You know, is there anything else behind that action?
I just really love the idea. Originally came from Mulan, obviously, like the Disney movie. I'm a huge
yes.
Mulan fan. I have been for years.
Me too.
And I was like, you know, changing it up, instead of her doing it in an army for her father, she's saving her brother, and let's make it, you know, kind of Hunger Games like, but without kids. Let's do men, you know. And so there was a little bit of changes in everything. But for me, just the scene where she cuts her hair is kind of just this huge symbolism for the fact that she's doing it, you know, because sometimes
yeah.
like, she has that hesitation, like, okay, I might do this, and we make plans, but it never actually happens. But for her, when she takes that knife and she cuts off her hair, this is it. I am doing this. And I guess that's kind of just the sign of, like, this is happening. You know, there's no going back now. This is going to happen. I'm changing myself, and this is the way it's going to be. You know, my old life is gone, and as the pieces of hair fall to the ground, that's kind of just her saying goodbye to who she was before she makes this decision.
I like that too. And as soon as I read it, I said, that's Mulan. Literally, as soon as I read it, I said, that's Mulan. And there's some other references in here. They're not spoilers, but they're just rather interesting. So basically, there's this ring on this world, and the stones were taken off this ring and sent elsewhere. Can I reveal what that elsewhere is, or should we just let our listeners get the book? Because I don't want, I don't think it's a big spoiler.
Yeah, I think you can go ahead. It's not too spoilery.
Okay. Okay. So basically, this ring of stones is here, and they were all very close together. And then the ancient ones, you know, in the story, the mythology of the story, the ancient ones took these stones and sent them to another planet. These stones are Stonehenge. Okay. And mm-hmm. right, am I right, Joanna? They're Stonehenge, right? Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sitting
yep.
there, and I was like, you know how you want to throw something at somebody? I wanted to throw something at you because I was like, this is awesome. This is awesome, just having that connection. And I if I could have hugged you, I would have hugged you likely because I love
oh my
stuff
gosh.
Like this. I just love that connection.
Thank you.
Plus, you also have a nod to another famous legend in this story. Again, it's not a spoiler. You just start to see the connections. Let our listeners know what that nod is to.
The story, the parallel with Moses from the Bible, there are elements and themes within there. And there's one scene in particular, it's actually my favorite in the whole book of Hunter. And if you're a Christian, you know the story of Moses, you're like, wow, you're going to get it. And it's just, it didn't start off that way. And I didn't even realize it until I actually finished the entire series and got ready to plan the last two books of the 17-book series. And when I was planning those two, I was like, wait a second. Every single book in the Valiant series parallels with the Bible, but I didn't realize it until then. And so I went back to Hunter and realized the amazing parallels that was just with Moses that I was like, okay, I didn't see this. You know, I didn't plan this at all. It just sort of happened. And it's just, that's one of my favorite themes in the whole book.
And I love stuff like that. And it's always subtle. It's always a subtle thing that happens. And then when you see it, you go, oh, and I love stuff like that. And authors, when you do that, every reader on the planet loves that. I hope you are enjoying this conversation I'm having with Joanna, because when we come back from our break, Joanna's going to read an excerpt from Hunter. If you didn't believe me when I said the book is good, when you listen to this excerpt, you are going to love it. It's just going to give you just a hint of the story. And so what I want to do is encourage you to pick up a copy of Hunter today by going to Amazon.com, clicking on Joanna White, download Hunter today. Guess what? It's only 99 cents. So guess what? You got a buck? Go ahead and get it, because you're going to get the rest of the series. I know I am. And I cannot wait to find out what happens next, so will you. If you want to weigh in on our topic, you know you can. Simply call in at 646-668-8485 and then press 1 to be live on air, or hit me on Twitter at Parker J. Cole, hashtag right stuff with your questions or comments. We're going to go ahead and take a quick short break. We will be right back.
Don't go anywhere. More with Parker and her guest on the Right Stuff Radio Show. We'll be right back.
Have you read the latest issue of SOARMAG Digital, the award-winning literary magazine for multicultural readers and writers? SOARMAG Digital is available quarterly and showcases interviews with the best authors in multicultural literature. SOARMAG Digital features craft and business articles for those interested in writing. If you're looking for a good book, check out our book reviews on what's hot in multicultural literature. For writers looking for new readers to get in front of, SOARMAG Digital is the perfect place to introduce your book. We offer advertising spaces that fit your promotional budget. Get your free subscription on SOARMAG.com or order a print issue on MagCloud.com. If you would like more information about SOARMAG Digital, check us out on SOARMAG.com or contact us at SOARMAG@Yahoo.com. SOARMAG Digital is the magazine for multicultural readers and writers.
Authors, are you looking for a new way to get your book in the hands of new audience of targeted buyers? Then a virtual book tour is for you. Right now, virtual book tours is an excellent opportunity for you to introduce your book and who you are as an author. Launching your book is very important. A virtual book tour will connect you with readers. We at WNL, we specialize in book tours, book blasts, radio tours, cover reveals, and Facebook chat. Promoting and marketing your book is what we do. Online publicity, the exposure and the publicity is what you need. Let us help you reach new readers and a new audience. We take care of everything so you don't have to. We set up the tour for you. We connect you with bloggers to advertise your book by way of interviews, guest posts, and reviews. If you are an author of a newly published book, have an upcoming release, or just want to give a previously published book new life, a virtual book tour is your answer. Check our tours out at www.wnlbooktours.com. Visit me on Facebook. I am the owner, Paulette Harper.
Sofa Talk Podcast will consider Spurgeon's morning and evening devotionals, which deal with all of the things that we are fearful and anxious of, like job, family, and our country. Plus, we will take your prayer requests. Join us on upcoming episodes Monday through Friday for Sofa Talk at anchor.fm/Russell-Sherrard. That's anchor.fm/Russell-Sherrard.
Are you an indie author looking to create audiobooks listeners will love? At The Audio Flow, we handle the entire process, from casting the perfect voice to distribution. Contact us today at 317-927-8770. The Audio Flow, a new way to do audio.
We're back, and you're hanging out with the queen of Tuesday night, Parker J, and her guests, right here on The Right Stuff.
Hi, and welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Right Stuff here on WPJC 104.5. Again, so very happy you are here with me today. We are talking to my guest, co-host, and contributor today, Joanna White. She is the author of the book Hunter, which is part of the Valiant series, available on Amazon.com. We definitely want to thank Ambassador International for connecting us. This book is an exciting read. So if you like your fiction hot off the press, running out the door, lots of action, lots of intrigue, just mystery and fantasy and sci-fi all wrapped up together, Hunter and the Valiant series is for you. So make sure you go to Amazon.com today. Download it right now. Joanna is going to read an excerpt from Hunter right now. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute myself and then let her take over and take on the show. Joanna, go ahead and take it away.
I went into my bedroom and picked up the small handheld mirror Mother had given me when I was 4 and looked at my reflection, staring back at me. Thick bags lined my eyes from not getting any sleep the previous night. Earlier, I had taken a small knife from the kitchen table. As I clutched it in my hands, I didn't think about it. I couldn't. From now on, my life would be about survival, just doing what I needed to do. I gripped the hilt so tightly that my knuckles turned white, and with a sharp inhale, I sliced it across my waist-long hair. It took one slice, then two and three, until I completely lost count. Piece by piece, the sleek black hair fell to the ground in piles. Glancing at the mound of what had once been my hair, I expected my chest to ache, but it didn't. My hair reached my shoulders now, but other than the jagged ends, it wasn't too bad. Good or bad, I didn't care. I just felt numb. Numb to everything except the thought that something terrible happening to Gabriel. The Arrayed Fool never experimented on females. They never sent the hunters after women either. So, women were never taken.
And that is just a small excerpt from Hunter, available on Amazon.com, which is another offering from Ambassador International. And that was the scene we were just talking about before the break, about when she cuts her hair. And I thought that was a very vital thing, like Joanna has said, because of the fact that she's making a decision, I am going forward. And having that type of determination will take you places. Like earlier, Joanna mentioned about the million word challenge. Having that determination to succeed at a goal that you set for yourself, how far are you going to push yourself? Now, mothers will lift buildings to protect their children. Fathers will brave all sorts of danger to protect their children. But what will you do to protect yourself from your own self-doubts? What will you do to protect yourself from your own worries? What are you going to do to protect yourself? Are you going to challenge yourself? Are you going to cut your hair? As it will, or are you going to leave your hair long and stay wrapped up in who you are today and not stretch for who you can be tomorrow? So I think I want to take that illustration, Joanna, because you're just so determined to get this done, and that determination comes through. And one thing I always do on this show, Joanna, is encourage those authors out there whom God has given the gift to write to pick up the pen and do so. And so with that, I have to ask more questions. My next question kind of deals with this relationship that you have with this series. And so ask me the question about who's your favorite characters and why are they your favorite characters? You know, who do you hate to love and who do you love to hate? So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my personal favorite is Jared. You were talking about him earlier,
yes,
and he's terrifying.
I knew you were going to say Jared.
Yes, it's kind of predictable at this point. And the fun thing is that he's actually my favorite, one of my favorites throughout the entire Valiant series, because the series itself jumps from one world to another because of the overall storyline, which, no spoilers. But Jared is just one character that stayed with me over all these years. I wrote this series over 7 years of my life, 17 books later, and he's still almost my number one favorite. I have a few others that are tied with him, but I love the idea of this. Well, everybody loves a good bad guy, right? Like, who doesn't, you know? But there's more than that. That is just the aspect that he's so bad, and he's just like, okay, how far can you go before you can't be redeemed anymore is kind of like a question
right.
that comes to mind. And I feel like in real life, there's a lot of, you know, well, I made a mistake, or I did this, or, you know, God can't use a person like me. Why would he use me? And that's the story that appealed to me so much about Moses, is because, you know, he's just this guy, and he's, you know, when God appeared to him and told him, I want you to, you know, go to Egypt and set my people free, and he's like, I can't do this. You know, I can't talk in front of Pharaoh, and why would Pharaoh listen to me? And I think that as a writer, there's so many doubts that come at you, like, well, I can't do this. I mean, I can't write a story and create something out of nothing, and, you know, or maybe I can write it, but I can't get it published. Nobody's going to read this thing. And there's just so many just excuses. They're not really excuses, but they're just these doubts that just hit you. And no matter where you are, no matter what mistakes you've made, no matter why you think you can't do it, God can. We can't, but God can. And I think there's a power in knowing that you may have made a lot of mistakes in your life. I don't care what kind of background you've come from. I mean, and I wanted to show that God can change you and he can change hearts. And that's kind of where Jared comes in at as a very special and dear character to me personally, because he's this cold-blooded killer that you don't want to see. You don't want to get next to this guy, and it's like, you know, you don't want to be anywhere near this guy, but yet there's still something that does he have the chance to be redeemed. And maybe if somebody like that can, maybe we can too. And just that encouragement and that inspiration from that aspect is the reason why he's one of my favorites.
There's a hint of something in the book, and I'm not going to touch on it really because I really want our listeners to pick up the story. But there's a hint in this book that sometimes the people we are based off the actions of other people. And this is when I talk about the power of words and how people can influence your life. And when I say the power of words, I'm not talking something mystical like spells or anything like that. I'm saying how you can change someone's day and say, you look beautiful today. Or I'm saying how you can speak positive words to someone. Again, I have to say this with some caution because a lot of people think, well, we have the creative ability of God to create actual worlds such as the planet, the universe. I'm not talking that. I'm talking about just having that influence on someone's life and how you should take that with a lot of respect and responsibility. Because Jared finds himself thinking odd thoughts he never thought about before. When this person, who he knows as Dalex, because her assumed name is Dalex, but her name is Avarella, comes into it and totally trusts his world upside down. And that's the hunter. And the hunter suddenly is intrigued by the prey. Now, in a romance context, this would be brilliant. Okay, I'm telling you right now, Joanna, in a romance context, I'm like, oh, gosh, this is brilliant. But at the same time, there's got to be more than just the romance. There has to be this change coming about. And in his determination to completely obliterate the prey, he starts to understand what the prey is all about. And I love how he did that in Hunter. So often people see hunters as this domineering, dominant character, forgetting that the hunter is a person who has had experiences. Mm-hmm. And is there a fine line between you being the hunter or being the prey? So these are some really good questions that arise in Hunter, as you can tell. So what I definitely want you to do is make sure you go to Amazon.com and get your copy of Hunter today. You're definitely going to enjoy this story. And you already talked about some of the things that we discussed, because there is no heart too dark that God's love can't reach. There is no heart too dark. I think you have to make a choice whether or not you want to be helped. Like I said one time, you want to be rescued. Sometimes you have to get to that point. Do I need rescue or do you want to be rescued? I think he works from there, but I don't want to get to that right now. But Joanna, I have just enjoyed our conversation, really enjoyed it. I want to tell people about your next projects, but we kind of already know because there's 17 books in this series. So we kind of know what you're going to be doing for a while. We kind of know you're going to be working on a million words this year. So we kind of know what you're going to be doing. So with that, I want people to have an opportunity to connect with you. So go ahead and tell us where we can connect with you online.
Definitely my website. You know, there's all kinds of information about my books there. You can sign up for my newsletter and everything. So it's basically just joannawhite316.wordpress.com. So that's basically where you can connect with me. And I am definitely going to be putting my social media, like links to my other social media, like my Facebook and stuff. I have a fan group that I'll be putting a link to on there. So you guys, that's where you guys can stay completely connected with me and all the things going on.
You know, this show is always about reaching out to authors to encourage them to write, and you've given us a lot of nuggets of wisdom today. But in the few moments we have left, go ahead and encourage those authors out there with just that final push, Joanna, of using the gift that God gave you to pick up the pen and write stuff.
Don't ever give up. I think all writers have this where they doubt themselves or they don't think they can do it or they think this is terrible. Like I write something and this is terrible. Don't let the doubt stop you from doing what you're passionate about or stop you from doing what your dream is or what you feel God is calling you to do. Just step out, and the most important thing you can do is just keep writing. Don't give up. Keep writing. Keep pushing through. Even if you think this is like a piece of trash, just keep writing and watch what God can do with a piece of trash. It's not a piece of trash, but like watch what God can do with anything. You know, even if it's flawed, even if there's stuff that needs to be fixed, God can take it and do so much more than you could ever imagine or think possible. So just keep writing and don't ever give up.
I love that. And what a wonderful way to end the show today. Thank you, Joanna, so much for being with us on the show. Really, really enjoyed having you. And I cannot wait to have you back real soon.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been so amazing and a really good experience. So thank you. I had a lot of fun here.
And we were talking today to Joanna White. She is the author of the book Hunter, which is book one of the Valiant series, available on Amazon.com or wherever books are sold. We definitely want to thank Ambassador International for connecting us today. This book is a great book, guys. I'm telling you right now, the moment you start to read it, you will not put it down until you are done, because she keeps the action going. She keeps the intrigue going. You are wondering what's going on. There's a lot of fighting in here. And those of you who like fight scenes, they're good fight scenes. But some people say, well, I don't like fight scenes because I can't follow them. You can follow them in this book. This book is wonderful. Particularly, I loved when Joanna said, as her final closing thoughts, don't give up. Don't let your doubts make you give up. As a writer myself, I know the feeling. You're going to have doubts. I think that's just the name of the game, having doubts, being a writer. But keep going, she said. Keep pushing. And if you want to have that, make sure you connect with her, because I can tell she will probably want to pour her determination, her will into you. So make sure you go ahead and connect with her on her social media outlets. I know she'd love to hear from you guys. So I know she's definitely on Twitter. You can find her on Twitter at Joanna M. White, and then you can go to her website as well. Thank you so much for joining me for this edition of The Right Stuff. I'm the queen of Tuesday nights, Parker J, and you have a wonderful, absolutely glorious, blessed day.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of The Right Stuff. Follow Parker online at ParkerJCole.com. To hear this show and other shows, visit the show archive at therightstuffradio.wordpress.com. We'll be back same time next week, 7 p.m. Eastern Time.